In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we meditate on this Feast of Pentecost, on our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel chapter 37, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. He is the Christ. You may be seated. So today the church celebrates the festival day of Pentecost. And the obvious reading that we hear every year on Pentecost Sunday is the actual account of that event 10 days after the ascension of our Lord. We heard it from Acts chapter 2. That account speaks of a rumbling sound like a mighty wind, tongues as of fire, the ability to speak in previously unknown languages, and so forth. Our three-year lectionary system pairs this one account with different readings in each of the 3 years, however. The gospel always tells us how Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, and there are plenty of those in the gospels. The Old Testament readings, though, are a bit more diverse. The reading for Series A recalls the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the elders of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. The reading for Series C tells the Tower of Babel, where God responded to the sin of human pride by confusing the languages of humanity. And here in Series B, we hear about Ezekiel preaching to a valley full of dry bones. What, I ask you, does Ezekiel preaching to bones have to do with Pentecost? I mean, that Series A reading makes some sense because it's very similar to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the people on Pentecost, the way the Spirit was poured out upon the elders of Israel. The Series C reading makes sense because that proclamation of the gospel in many and various languages is really the reverse of that curse that God performed at Babel. But what in the world does preaching to bones have to do with Pentecost? Well, to answer this question, it's helpful to note that on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached an entire sermon and didn't stick his foot in his mouth once. Throughout the Gospels, Peter is notorious for talking and acting without really thinking first. And suddenly here he is preaching an excellent law gospel sermon without messing it up. And the most important part is what happens at the end. As Peter comes to the end of the sermon, the Holy Spirit produced a response in those who heard. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The result of Peter's preaching is that the Holy Spirit brought life to 3,000 souls. They had been dead in their trespasses and sins, but the Holy Spirit brought them to life in Christ Jesus. Here is where we see the connection with Ezekiel and the Valley of the Dry Bones. God explains that the dry bones are the house of Israel. In the vision, Ezekiel preached to those dry bones, and God reassembled them and brought living breath back into them. In the same way, he says, Ezekiel is to preach to the people of Israel, and the Holy Spirit will bring them back to life out of their exile. God used the vision of the dry bones to teach Ezekiel and us that it's through the preaching of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brings life back to His creation. It worked the same way on the hearers who gathered in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost after Jesus ascended into heaven. The rumbling sound, the tongues of fire, the multitude of languages, these were wondrous signs and created curiosity among the Pentecost pilgrims. But it wasn't until God's word was preached that the Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin and gave them new life in Christ. It was when these Pentecost pilgrims heard Peter's sermon that the Holy Spirit added 3,000 souls to the church. We still need that preaching today. Spiritually speaking, we all enter this world as dead, dry bones. We're all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil. It is just as David wrote in the Psalms, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The Apostle Paul also wrote, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." As the baptismal rite says, we would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, from death, and from everlasting condemnation. Just as dead, dry bones have no ability to resuscitate themselves, so we also are without hope in ourselves. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on our human flesh. He lived the perfect life we could not. He offered Himself up as a sacrifice for our sin by His suffering and death on the cross. He has earned everything that our dry bones need for eternal life. And we know that this is true because He rose again from the dead, and He now wants to give eternal life to you. He wants your dead, dry bones to come back to life. Here's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes to help us. Just as the Holy Spirit used the preaching of Ezekiel to bring Israel back to life, just as He used Peter's preaching to add 3,000 to the church that day, so also does the Holy Spirit continue to use preaching to bring salvation to His people today, to bring salvation to you. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. As the Apostle Paul described it to the church in Rome, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So although the rumbling noise, the mighty rushing wind, the tongues of flame, and the speaking in unknown languages are quite impressive, it is the rather unimpressive preaching of the gospel that the Holy Spirit uses to deliver Christ's salvation to us. The Holy Spirit invites and draws us by that gospel to partake of all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. This is the greater miracle we celebrate this day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit uses the words of men to breathe upon dead, dry bones that they may hear and believe and so live. The Catechism teaches us that we cannot believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him by our own reason or strength, but the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. We can no more bring ourselves to life from the death of sin than a valley of disconnected and dried out bones could pull themselves together and regain life. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, does the impossible. By word and sacrament, He breathes into us the life Christ won on the cross and gives us His victory over sin and death. He has created faith where there was none before, that you might have life with the Father now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.